The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Well, you've been hearing about it all day. It's Giving Tuesday. Only if you're able. Times are tough. COVID has hit the world hard, and especially this country very hard. And times are tight. Money's tight. I get it. But if you are able, please join us by going to v.org/donate to give to the V Foundation, at the V Foundation, for cancer research as they work tirelessly to find a cure. It's needed now more than ever. And by the way, bad mix with COVID. Cancer patients especially susceptible. Hashtag never give up. Just imagine, think of how fast this vaccine's coming. I know it seems like forever, but you have a vaccine for a novel virus within a year? It's insane. That's supposed to take 3-4 years if we were lucky, right? But the whole world was like, well, we can't start moving until we get this thing taken care of. And this is what happened. Imagine if we had that attitude toward cancer. Cancer, which every single person on earth it affects. It takes loved ones. Who doesn't have a family member, a friend, someone who's been stricken with cancer, which is deadly? You know, there's the person who eventually cures it, even though they'll be standing on the shoulders of so much work that came before them. You deserve something higher than a Nobel Prize somehow. So it'd be the greatest human achievement ever is beating cancer. At any rate, if you can, please go to the V Foundation, at the V Foundation, for cancer research. All right. Ravens-Steelers games postponed again to Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. Why 3:40? I'm going to get to that. This is the third postponement of that game. It's supposed to be on Thanksgiving, don't forget. The only good game on Thanksgiving. The third postponement came after Ravens players said on Monday they didn't want to play Tuesday because of safety concerns. So in corresponding schedule changes, the Steelers' Week 13 game against Washington has been moved to Monday. It's a short week for the Steelers. And the Ravens' Week 13 game against Dallas has been moved to Tuesday. Wednesday's afternoon kickoff is due to the, why 3:40? Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony, which was scheduled for Wednesday night on NBC. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are eligible to play Wednesday, but 13 Ravens players, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, will remain on the reserve COVID-19 list, a source told our very own Adam Schefter. Look, they're looking into whether or not the Ravens violated protocol. If they did, they should forfeit the game at this point. It's not right. Now, if they didn't, look, you can, in the middle of a global pandemic that has hit this country harder than any other because of the complete incompetent and frankly, not just incompetent, but incompetent is one thing, but the so-called leadership at the highest levels of our federal government, it exacerbated things. Without any debate, like there's no among serious people, everyone understands this. And so I get it that it's everywhere, over 200,000 new cases a day, starting to approach 300,000 dead Americans now. And you can, even if you're careful, it's still possible to get the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. Nevertheless, like what we saw with Denver, when the quarterbacks weren't wearing masks, I really think the league has been too soft on violations of protocol. And even, forget about from like an ethical or moral standpoint, you want to get this thing, you want to get a player kind of personal responsibility up, strength and conditioning coaches, whatever, you want to get like, you want to get people to behave according to the protocol, you got to come down hard. And I think it's right that the Steelers, who had to take an early bye because Tennessee, you know, got it, but it turns out they didn't violate protocol. We're supposed to get a mini bye later, and now we're going to be playing on a short week. Well, they had the rest until now. Yeah, but you have to prepare as though you're going to play. It's not the same thing. There's no recharging of the batteries, right? You know what I think the upshot about this is going to be, though? Because it's not fair to the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to be better for this. Because I don't care how internally motivated you are. right? Great athletes are internally motivated. Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, whoever, right? All those guys can also use external motivation. I remember in 98, the greatest baseball team of all time, by far, the 98 Yankees won 125 games when you include the postseason. Oh, the Mariners won 116. Shut up. If they would have won the World Series, they would have won 127 games. They won 116 because the Yankees knocked them out of the playoffs, right? The record is 125. You know what, Jeter, I remember a quote after that season, what Jeter said. No one thought we could do it. Everyone thought you could do it. As soon as they traded for Knobloch in the offseason, it was like, oh, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. And then they did. Everyone thought they were going to do it. They swept the World Series. What's Jeter talking about? Well, he's a great athlete. He's internally motivated, but he's also looking for anything to give him an edge. Tom Brady tweets at me a picture of 61, or maybe it was Instagram, 61 miles. He didn't at me, but it was. He said, Cliff, ? Right? And he showed 61 miles an hour on the radar gun. What the hell does Tom Brady care what I have to say? Like, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time? But he does, because he can use it for motivation. The Steelers have been disrespected. And you know anyone who's got them number one in the power rankings? Because, you know what I mean? I'm going to reveal mine later today, but you know anyone who has them number one? People don't have the Steelers number one. They're undefeated, right? And now, a team that had to accommodate the Titans, accommodate the league, now has to accommodate the Ravens again and again and again. Their arch rivals, who they've already beaten once this year. Ooh, the Steelers are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. Not that a Mike Tomlin team needs extra motivation. They haven't fallen into their trap games. Like, uh-oh, the Bengals, that's going to be tough. They destroyed the Bengals. They whooped up on the Browns. Squeaked by the Titans and the Ravens they beat, but it was close. Those are good teams. Hard to beat good teams, and they did it. No, the Steelers are already going to be like, yo, people are disrespecting us, right? And now this, if the Steelers actually wind up going undefeated this year, I think this will be one of the reasons why. Because the team will have extra motivation. Meantime, the Ravens, you think the Ravens make the playoffs? They got 6 wins, only 4 losses because they still haven't played this game. This is probably going to be their 5th loss. But if you look at their schedule coming up, Raj, I can't bring my phone too near the radio equipment or it starts to buzz. Why don't you look up their schedule and tell the games and say the games out loud, because it's a soft schedule. The Ravens have a chance. Now, I'm going to say they're going to lose more than one game coming up. They're going to lose to the Steelers, and they're going to have another loss in there somewhere. But I look at the Ravens and think, that's 10 wins. Now, let's not forget, there are 7 teams making the playoffs from each conference this year. There's the Ravens schedule. It's on the screen. It's up on ESPN Plus, which, by the way, ESPN Plus, I'm not saying it because I'm on ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus is the best value for your entertainment dollar there is. You get pay-per-view quality fights. You get MMA. You get, you know, the UFC, you get so much content for the money, but including this show on TV, ESPN Plus. So here it is. At Steelers, they're going to lose that game. 35% chance to win, but they should lose. Then they host the Cowboys. I'm going to pencil that in as a win. They're at Cleveland. They have a 69% chance to win that game, according to FPI. But by the way, they already beat the snot out of the Browns week 1. Now, the Browns are much better than they were, and the Ravens have regressed, but I think it's fair to call the Ravens the favorites in that game, even on the road. At the Jaguars, they're hosting. Giants, they're hosting. And then they're at the Bengals. Other than the Browns, they're well over 70% to win every game after the Steelers game. According to FPI, 82% against the Cowboys, 69% against the Browns, 88% Jaguars, 80% Giants, 77%, something like that, last game of the season. But let's say a team like the Giants, a motivated team, one of those teams, sneaks in a win against Baltimore. That's a 10-win season for Baltimore. I think that's going to get them to the playoffs. I don't think the Raiders, not after what they just showed against Atlanta, are going to the playoffs. So that's only Kansas City out of that division, right? And then even if you had the Steelers and Browns out of the AFC North with the Ravens, the Titans, the Colts, and that's it. I think those are the seven. Am I forgetting someone? I guess someone from the AFC East has to go, right? I guess I am forgetting someone. I don't know, between the Colts or between the... it's going to be tough. I think the Ravens are getting in. All right, I'm going to get back to the Eagles. I took notes on the game, by the way.
Let me guess your notes. Incompletion. Punt it to the Seahawks.
Yeah, right, exactly. it's unreal what was going on. I don't know if I need to take you through the plays, but I'll just say it's over for Wentz. And I've been telling you since the middle of last season. There it is. I've been telling you since the middle of last season, Raj, that something was off with him, you know. And as everyone was lauding him, praising him, I told everyone that he was in a period of shocking regression, I believe is how I put it, and that he did not resemble the player who in 2017 was my MVP at the point he got hurt, right? Then this season, you know, he continued on that path. He got progressively worse and worse. I mentioned it many times. Not once has he had a better quarterback ranking than his opponent, better quarterback rating than his opponent. Not once. In year five, has he been statistically better than the opponent? Not once. I should have benched him weeks ago to demonstrate accountability to the football team. I said that many times recently. And, you know, to hopefully, you would think they have a model for this, which is Donovan McNabb. You know why McNabb was salty about Wentzylvania and all this? He's like, hold on, time out. I did this for years and years and years. This dude comes in, has one great year. He doesn't even make it to the finish line. Another dude wins Super Bowl MVP. The next year, the team is under 500. Another dude comes in, takes him to the playoffs and a playoff win. And what else has he done? No, McNabb was, if he was salty, he had a reason to be. He was benched, McNabb. Middle of the season, he was benched. And what did the benching do? It motivated him. It held him accountable to the team. Do you know what happened that season? He came back and led the Eagles to a fifth NFC championship game. By the way, they also came pretty close to winning that game. All right. Look, the Seahawks had an historically bad defense, okay? This was the game that the coaching staff, the owner, everyone, they were pinning their hopes on Wentz, at least showing them something to justify this kind of absurd stubbornness in not sitting him down as McNabb was sat down. By the way, it worked with McNabb. It helped him. It helped the team. It's not about, well, the backup doesn't give you a better chance to win. Yeah, no kidding. It's not about that. Anyway, Wentz put on a display last night that was so pathetic, it very well could have ended the tenure of everyone involved. Peterson out, Roseman out, anyone else with a pulse and any kind of proximity to this mess, they can all get out. First quarter, Eagles had three possessions in the first quarter. Now remember, this is the Seattle defense we're talking about. You know what they gained in the first three possessions, Raj? Guess.
I'm just saying three possessions. You should be able to get at least 9,
historically
10 yards.
Bad defense.
I'll go 29 yards.
I tricked you. I said, what did they gain? They didn't gain anything. They had -3 yards.
That's
so
not
Hurts,
possible.
Hurts is brought in at the start of the second quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
A second and 9 becomes a second and 14 after a pre-snap penalty. All right, so he's facing a second and 14. He completes he throws a pass to Alshon Jeffrey as a completion. That was the 6 yards. That was, you know, more yards than Carson Wentz had gotten the entire game. 1 6-yard completion. So what does Peterson do when Jalen Hurts throws that completion? He immediately puts Wentz back in. On third down. Why would he do that? You just started to get something done. So what happened on that third down play? Do you remember, Raj?
The third down play. I don't remember that one because I texted you right then because I thought something else had happened.
But took a sack. Go ahead. He took a sack. Five straight three and outs to start the game against an historically bad defense. So the longest completion of those first five drives was a six-yard pass from Hurts to Alshon Jeffrey. For 59 minutes and 38 seconds, right, until the very last Hail Mary, Carson Wentz led the Eagles to how many points against that Seattle defense? Forget about that last, you know, bizarre Hail Mary touchdown with 22 seconds left in a two-score game. It's a two-score game. No one's playing defense. Like, what are you talking about, right? 9 points. Who scores 9 points against Seattle? 9 points against Seattle in a full in 59-plus minutes? He was the problem with Wentz is he was awful in almost every way a quarterback can be awful, right? But like, let's talk about this one throw. I want to talk about this one throw. Not the interception. He didn't see Richard Rodgers, who was wide open, right? So instead he throws his 15th, league-leading 15th interception. No, I'm not even talking about that. I want to focus on a play five snaps earlier, okay? 9:42 to go in the fourth quarter, Raj. The Eagles have first down at the 50. Wentz had Goddard on Bobby Wagner, wide open late in the first quarter, and he underthrew him, right? But you could say, all right, there was a rusher bearing down on him. He didn't step into the throw. It wasn't, you know, exactly the type of play that he made in 2017 routinely. I get it, right? But the next time Goddard has a linebacker on him, on the 50-yard line, on first down, Wentz has a perfect pocket. No one's near him. He has time. And Goddard has the linebacker on him. It wasn't Bobby Wagner. Brooks, the linebacker, on him. And he's again, wide open, right? He's running several yards ahead of Brooks with no safety help. This is why it's an historically bad defense, the Seahawks. So Wentz steps into the throw in his pristine pocket and proceeds to underthrow Goddard so badly that the linebacker is you know, like trying to catch up desperately because he's yards behind, plows into Goddard and draws a PI penalty. Like, that's a positive outcome. But it's a positive outcome because Wentz was so incompetent that it led to a positive outcome. It was so underthrown that the linebacker winds up smacking into the tight end who had him beat with no safety help. But there is some good news, Roger. You ready for Eagles fans? You ready for this?
Yeah, a lot of them listen. Yeah, my cousin's listening from Philly. What you
His
got?
Cap hit's only going to be $34.7 million next season, so there is that.
Oh, my goodness.
If they try to cut him, his back-breaking contract makes this a situation where they would have $59.2 million of dead money against the cap. So you're stuck with him for another year. It's not just one thing with him, Raj. It's everything. You need to fix Wentz's mechanics, internal clock, ball security, how he sees the field, his decision-making, his understanding of situational football, his shattered confidence. You need to deprogram him, and he's got to relearn everything. It's over. Their chance to sit him down, I've been trying to tell people, to get some form of a reset is over. Last night's dumpster fire means it's over. And by the way, as bad as Wentz was, Peterson may have been worse. And Roseman is looking bad. You gotta end this whole thing. It's over. If you can get rid of Wentz, you gotta do it. I don't think you can, but you gotta try. And Roseman. And Peterson don't want to be there, obviously, from the way he coached yesterday. And Roseman took Rager and Jalen Hurts instead of DeAndre Hopkins or CeeDee Lamb, or Jefferson at least. Matthew Berry, our fantasy expert, is up next. He's also going to tell us what he's doing for Giving Tuesday. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Folks still want to defend Carson Wentz. I'm going to get to that. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Okay, now, it is Giving Tuesday. So if you're able, and only if you're able, you know, I know people hit you up for money all the time, right? And times are tough. Money's tight. I get it. You know, especially COVID, the effect it had on the economy. And incidentally, we saw in Europe where there were very good examples of countries, well, we're not going to shut down the economy. In fact, ultimately, they had to shut down the economy, or the economy slowed, and they were just a lot sicker. So, and you know, and that's what happened here when we tried to open too early. We closed too late, opened too early. Get things going. No, it was a huge economic problem, and a lot of people are very sick, and many have died. But if you are in a position where you can give, please go to v.org/donate and give to the V Foundation, at the V Foundation for Cancer Research. They've been working tirelessly for years to find a cure to, you know, the enemy of humanity. Cancer is the enemy of humanity. And if we, if the world felt as there was urgency to cure cancer, the way the world said, okay, wait, we have to do something about COVID and came up with a vaccine in a year, which is unheard of, you know, we could do it. And that's the point of view of the V Foundation. They're trying. My guest right now is Matthew Berry. You all know him, ESPN fantasy expert, who joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Matthew Berry.
Max, how are you?
There he is. Good, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
No complaints, you know. Hanging in, as we all are.
I'll tell you what, I'm doing well because for the second consecutive week, I have taken $10 each from the following people. Raj Grobes,
okay.
Bill Wolf, Nick Tutz, Steve Mason, and Ben Lyons. I have taken their money on consecutive DraftKings weeks because I am the champion. Who was the champion, Raj, the last 2 weeks? I'm curious. It's not the only 2 weeks I've won this year, but I'm curious. I forgot.
My cell data has been down. I haven't been able to check, but carry on.
Yeah, that would be me, Matthew. So I'm doing great. How many people, Matthew, when you talk to people, it really does affect your quality of life by, like, I'd say my whole week is like 5 to 10% better when I beat my friends at DraftKings, you know? Do people 100%, express that to you?
Yeah. Oh, sure. No, listen, fantasy has an unhealthy amount of influence on how you feel or how your week goes. Like, you win your league, you win a matchup, whether it's DFS, season long, whatever it is. You win your matchup, you beat your friends, you beat your buddies, then you're floating on cloud nine. Or you do something stupid, or like something happens last night, like people were tweeting me all last night. They had the Seattle Seahawks, or they were playing against somebody that desperately had to start Richard Rodgers, and they were fine up until the very last seconds of that game.
Right.
You know, and I'm tweeting out guys that lost like 0.5 points because of Richard Rodgers and that Hail Mary, and that just ruins your week. So I completely get it. The one thing I will say here, Max, and I can't speak to Raj or Ben Lyons or a lot of the people you just reeled off, but I can tell you that beating Steve Mason is nothing to brag about. You know, his nickname is Last Place Mace. Steve Mason's a good friend of mine and has been for 15 years. Last Place Mace is an appropriate nickname for my friend Steve. So that's sort of a gimme every week, I would think, for you.
Yeah, that's fine, but I still enjoy. You know, it's funny because your sports enemies are your best friends, your brothers, your sisters, whoever, like your colleagues at work, right? They are the people you watch sports with and are closest to are your sports enemies. Like back in the day, when Marcellus and I would be in the same league, if I knew on Sunday night his team was going to win, like I could just see the way it was going, I didn't want to go to work the next day. But I bring that up because we work with a lot of great people at ESPN. This is kind of a ham-handed segue. A lot of great people at ESPN, and one of my favorites was always Stuart Scott, the late, great Stuart Scott, who, Matthew, I'll tell you quickly, once came up to me, and he was a huge star at the time, and I was just crossing over from boxing into doing other things. I was hosting Around the Horn, and people were critical of my style and everything. And Stu came up to me unsolicited, and he says, "By the way, Max, you're doing great. Don't listen to anyone telling you any different." And I thought to myself, for a guy on top of the world, he did not have to go out his way to give me encouragement and to try to make me feel good. I mean, I was okay with it, but, like, I was very impressed. It was such a stand-up thing to do. And I understand that your love-hate column this week is about V Week and Stuart Scott.
Yeah, so it'll come out on Thursday, and like it does every week. But yeah, because it is V Week, because it is Giving Tuesday, and I wanted to talk about Stuart. It's the 5-year anniversary of his death this Friday. And so, taken way too soon from us. And, you know, I think, Max, and tell me if you agree on this, I think as many great things as ESPN does, and the company does a ton of great things, I think V Week and ESPN's association with the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research is the best thing this company does, and I don't think there's a close second.
Yeah.
I think
that's hard. I mean, of course, in reality, you know, you can make a joke and say, well, actually, you know, Matthew Berry's tells you what quarterback to start or sit. But in reality, you know, jokes aside, absolutely, of course that's right.
The V Foundation does such an amazing work, and as you mentioned at the top of this segment, 100% of every dollar that gets spent or donated to them at V.org goes to cancer research. A lot of other charities use money that's donated for overhead, for employee salaries, for, you know, to buy digital ads to try to get more money. 100% of every penny donated to the V Foundation goes to cancer research. And to your point about Stuart Scott, and I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why, because Stuart embodies so much that's great and right about the world, and you know, it's one of the reasons why the V Foundation honors his memory. And it's so interesting to hear your anecdote about Stuart, because when Stuart passed away 5 years ago, so I have a Stuart Scott story that I'll tell you here in 1 second. But what I found is that when he passed away, everyone has a Stuart Scott story. Like, your story, Max, is not unique. My story is not unique. Everyone has a story like that. So my version of your story is that when I got to ESPN in 2007, you're saying, like, hey, you were a boxing guy and people weren't sure what to make of you. I was a fantasy guy, right? So I'm the fantasy football guy that just gets to ESPN. People weren't really sure about fantasy football. People weren't really sure, should fantasy football even be on ESPN television, let alone SportsCenter? You know, it was in 2007, it was still considered kind of nerdy and niche and, you know, something that should be, you know, talked about in the dark web of the internet. And yet I'm on one of the first TV appearances I ever get to do is I'm doing SportsCenter with Stuart Scott. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Now, I've never met Stuart before, right? And so
Stuart Scott was a huge star,
Massive, massive. I mean, like, when Stuart Scott passed away, like, he was trending for 2 days. Like, President Obama is, you know, issuing a statement about what Stuart Scott meant to him. Like, yes, you know, star upon star upon star. But my point is that, like, so SportsCenter starts, and it's not, so when SportsCenter starts, like, it's not like you're hanging out before the show. So it's an hour-long show, and they tell me my hit's coming on at whatever, 25 past hour or whatever. And so I walk into the studio, I'm in the backstages. I've never met Stuart Scott in my life. And this is, like, one of my first times I've ever been on SportsCenter talking fantasy football. And Stuart Scott comes to him and he says, and now to break it all down about what this means, who to start, who to sit, my man, Matthew Berry is here, dropping knowledge. Matthew, tell the people what they need to know. Like, he sells it so hard, Max, you know, and all the people are like, who the hell's Matthew Berry? Why should I listen to this guy? They don't know who I am. But Stuart Scott just told them to pay attention because what I had to say was important. And by the way, Max, you and I both know this is a little bit of inside baseball, but not everyone's like that. Not everyone in television is like that. And Stuart certainly didn't have to do that. He could have just said, you know, hey, here's Matthew Berry with SportsCenter or whatever. But sold it so hard.
Yeah, that's like, and then just about Stu himself, for those, you know, for the younger audience, because as you said, Matthew, time flies, man. That he has been gone for 5 years is just incredible to me. But going way back, I saw him on ESPN News, like, you know, because you see, like, a lot of new people show up on news. And I was like, and he was so obviously a star. he jumped off the screen. I mean, it was clear. Miss him a lot, and I'm glad you shared that story. We don't need to
talk
about...
You know what he is to me?
Yeah.
You know, just when he's jumping off the screen,
yeah,
like as a star. You know, they always talk about when they're talking about, like, Lawrence Taylor. How,
right,
Lawrence Taylor redefined how he played the position. Right? That you know, like you know, you see, whatever, Lamar Jackson redefines how you play the position. Stuart Scott redefined how you anchored SportsCenter, how you, yeah, anchored a television broadcast, how you anchored sports. You know what I mean? He redefined it. Like, he wasn't just great at what he did. Like, he elevated the game.
It.
Like, he... Yes.
Matthew, in the words of in the lyrics of Lupe Fiasco, I know one of your favorites, did you improve on the design? Did you do something new? He did. Stuart Scott did. And so did Matthew Berry. Matthew Berry mainstreamed fantasy analysis. And while we're not going to get to any of it today, because we were waxing poetic about our friend Stuart Scott and the importance of donating to the V Foundation here on Giving Tuesday, we will get to it with Matthew Berry soon, another time. Great Matthew Berry, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN's fantasy expert. Lots of football calls on the line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right, Rod.
You heard First Take.
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah, I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
All right, John in New Jersey, defend Carson Wentz. I dare you.
Yeah, Max. So he's not playing well this season, Wentz.
Before
he
takes
another. But we have to look at the facts. Last season, he threw 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
He was bad
thrown
last
to
season.
Nobody. And they were 9-7. They got to the playoffs, right? And he got hurt in the playoffs last year, right? This year, his line is hurt. No wide receivers. Give him next year an O-line. Give him wide receivers. The real problem is Howie Roseman not drafting a Pro Bowl player since 2013. That's the real problem.
Well, I agree that Roseman's a problem, as Peterson's a problem, but Wentz is the biggest problem. Wentz was not good last year. I tried to explain this to people. The second half of last year, he was better than, well, he was good enough to get the Eagles to the playoffs in an awful division. But unless you think it's coincidence that I started pointing out his regression last year, then you have to acknowledge I was seeing something. Bad decision-making, bad execution, bad mechanics. You know, like, and he was so enabled by people like you, John, defending him, that he didn't really have to fix anything, did he? John, it's your fault. That's news from Max Kellerman Nation. John just joined the apologist line for Carson Wentz on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I have a minute to go. I don't know. Should I do another call, Raj? Yeah, all right. You got to show me which call is there, though. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. Now it's too late. Tim in Washington. Go ahead. Quick on Carson Wentz.
Hey. How you doing?
Ahead,
love
Tom.
To hear your show. Always
Thank
on
you.
It. I Thank love you. Watching. Carson Wentz, ever since he got hurt, Max, he's been playing scared. I've been telling everybody that he's really done. I really believe it.
Well, I do, too. And he doesn't move the way he used to. Though, when he's on the move, he plays better than when he's not. You know, like Wentz's rest of his career, you're going to have to risk injury that way. You're going to have to expose him to greater danger in order to get the best out of him. And I suspect the best out of Carson Wentz is a low average quarterback at this point. They've ruined this guy. Got my power rankings coming out tomorrow. Plus, we've got a game during the show. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.